We're going to be looking through Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30 this morning. And this is a contentious passage in a lot of ways because it's been preached in various aspects that everything that happens in your life is a good thing and it'll work out for good. I don't want to burst your bubble, but that's not always the case. Last year I suffered a significant burnout, and some of you would know that. My wife was quite crooked for about 2 years, and I went home on 2 weeks leave to support her. And while I was home, I realised I was in trouble. Before that, I was sitting in my office and I would be uncontrollably crying quite often, and that's not my normal manner as a tough, stoic Aussie. And I thought, I'm in trouble. My staff were concerned about me. My elders were concerned about me. And I rang our chairman of elders and said, bro, I'm in real strife. And what I came to know after getting some really good support and help over that 5 month period, that all the stress that had built up in my life and the significant trials of my past has led me to that point and brought me low. And I needed help. Yeah, my church was outstanding. The elders loved me through it. The people loved me through it. They supported us financially through it. They did ministry for us and on behalf of us while we were away. Practical support came flowing through. They will begin it with me from the beginning until the very end of that trial and tribulation in my life. They stood beside me prayerfully, lovingly. You might even determine loyally. They stood beside me. They went above and beyond the line of duty as a church goes. They could have cut me loose at any time, but they chose a different path. You might even say that they were reassuring me that everything would be okay. The outworking of all of that was they were right along my side for the long haul, loving and caring for me. 2 years before that, before I went on that leave, and even up until this very day, my wife Stella has been suffering from chronic fatigue. What started out as glandular fever went into advanced nasty. But before we found out that it was chronic fatigue, we went through tests, more tests, other tests to find out if there was brain cancer, other cancers, all sorts of nasties, and they were trying to discount them as they went along. It was a difficult time for us. My family were outstanding. Wherever and whenever they could, they were right there for us. They gathered around their beautiful mother, my wife, and reassured her that they loved her and cared for her. The church likewise were amazing. They stepped up to the plate in magnificent ways. Practically again, ministry support, prayer support. They supported Stella from the beginning until the end, and the end is not finished, although she has come a long way. What we have come to know, more importantly, through all of that mess that we went through, not once did we doubt what God was doing in our lives, because Jesus has done it. He called us to himself. He loved us. He gave himself for us. And the Spirit is not only with us, like he was in the Old Testament, he is in us. And every one of you here today that have called on the name of the Lord Jesus, believing that he is the Son of God, that he is God, that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and put your faith and trust in that very detailed set of circumstances and information, you are a believer heading for heaven. Amen? And if you don't know that, I want you to listen with great intent this morning, that you might find hope and peace, because we all need to know that God is with us from the beginning till the end. Will you say that with me? God is with us from the beginning to the end. Even though these people offered me assurance and reassurance and comfort and amazing helpful ways, that can never replace the love that God showed for us. You might sit here this morning as I tell you some of my story. You might have been through the same circumstances as I have. And you might have empathy for me. And I appreciate that. But that will never measure up to what God has done in my life. We all have human limitations, human fallibilities. We should trust our brothers and sisters in Christ with their counsel. We should trust them with their support. We should seek each other, praying, nurturing, guiding, loving. And as we gather back together as churches, because this will eventually, the shackles will be completely released, that is when we're going to need each other. This reminds me, this verse, I want you to read this with me. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Trust is a difficult thing. Trust is an extremely difficult thing. More easier said than done, even to trust God. Because in this battlefield of life, things go awry. Unexpected things happen. I didn't think that I would have burnout. I didn't think my wife, even though she suffers with asthma chronically, would end up in the situation she is in. Even though I have preached sermons many times and counseled many people that we live in human frail bodies. Can we possibly believe that? Really? In all that I've been through and all that you go in through in life, can I believe that? Can I know that? Can I settle my heart on that? We're going to look at this passage, Romans 8, 28 to 30 together. It reminds us of just how much God is with us from the beginning until the end. That's Romans 8, 28, 30 from the NASB version, this version is. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Verse 30, and these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. We are compelled to look at these words from the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and get your attention and my attention. And here's two words that we need to understand right now, right today, is to know. To know that this is true. To know that God is with us from the beginning until the end. And nothing can separate. We sang a song. Nothing can separate us from his love. He wants to assure us that he is with us from the beginning until the end. With our sicknesses, our mental stress, our challenges, our concerns. And even for those who have been persecuted for your faith and laughed at, as you walk amongst other people on this earth, no matter what trial you are going through, God is right there with you. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit, God himself, is in you, not only with you. And we need to know. Paul is one of the apostles, arguably the greatest apostle, writing to the church at Rome, reminding them that the gospel saves in the whole book of Romans. He deals with topics such as the problem of sin, justification, sanctification, glorification. He goes through the whole gambit here in this message of hope. Paul is a significant New Testament writer. 13 apostles. If you want to argue over Hebrews, that's fine. 13 epistles. So I think he has some idea. Paul, interestingly though, when he became an apostle, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus personally. Measure of an apostle. Risen Lord Jesus Christ. You had to have seen him. And the interesting thing for me is Paul is out there persecuting the church, which we know. He's given a role, he's given letters to go out and find them and persecute them and kill them. And he's done an amazing job because his reputation preceded him. But he met Jesus. I love this story. Ananias was told to go and pray for him. And you can just almost see the reluctance from Ananias. Whoa, stop. Don't you know, asking Jesus, do you know who this guy is? Seems a bit strange, really, doesn't it? Stop. But I wonder what Ananias thought when he found out this. But the Lord said to him, Ananias, go, for he is the chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer on behalf of my name. I wonder if Ananias, he's going to suffer. I'll go and pray for him. Don't we do that sort of stuff sometimes? Don't we like a little bit of retribution? You may not. Many do. You see, Paul was acutely aware of the grace that the risen Lord Jesus Christ had bestowed on him. In a week's time, you have an opportunity to tell other people about that. He reminded him of the salvation. He reminded himself of the salvation on the road to Damascus Road, and he set about doing what Jesus asked him to do. This message should not be lost on us either. You will suffer at some point. You can't avoid it. You see, you have been saved from the penalty of sin through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. The punishment for your sin and for my sin has been paid for by Christ. You need to know also that you have been freed from the power of sin. Not that you won't sin. As you are sanctified, you are being relieved from the power of sin that reigns in your mortal body. And the Spirit is right there with you to help you with that. And then in the future, you will be saved from the presence of sin. Won't that be an amazing day? Are we saying, come, Lord Jesus? I hope that it happens before I finish. Such is my heart to see Christ. That will be a glorious day. But don't think for 1 minute we've received that glorification state on this earth right now. It may say here that glorified in the previous passage, in past tense, that we've already received that, but we know that will not happen until either death takes us or we're taken up in the air. But Paul is out to put our faith, our position in Christ, that we have been placed into God's family. You have been placed into this beautiful family here. Do you treasure it? Do you love every person that's within this family? Do you have a gripe with people in your family? Our Christian families are not made for that. A new commandment that I give you, Jesus says, that you should love one another as I have loved you. And if you love one another as I have loved you, who will know that you are my disciples? All men and women. And children. That is your testimony. I saw my family down the road do that for me and for Stella. God doesn't leave you to your own devices. He places you in this body and He works with you and in you. He never does it in isolation. He works in all things for your good. We need to know that God is with us from the beginning until the end. We need to know that God is at work in us and with us. In 8:28, he says, and we know that God causes all things. I want you to hear that. How many things? All things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. He's working in us and with us. He doesn't just take over. You do your part and God does his part. I have a friend of mine who I love dearly. We went through Bible college together in Adelaide and he said, God has gone silent and there's no ministry position for me. I said, God is not silent, brother. We have all of this. Find something else to do. You must participate in his plan. Oftentimes people say, I don't know what to do. Do you think I do? Really? I've been educated beyond my intelligence. And I'm glad none of you said amen. You just courteously laughed. I'm a visitor. Is that the demarcation line, is it? I feel sorry for all of you then. If you reside here and you're... Wow. As we walk in this world, no matter what you come against, God is working in how many things? All things, with you and in you. Working hand in hand, lovingly, in a loving relationship that will never be taken from you. Or you can shipwreck it if you act up. Oh, don't worry about that. But you are part of his family, waiting for your inheritance. And I don't believe that's heaven. You're assured of heaven because of your relationship. Look who's on your side. Now, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Who's got weaknesses? Some of you are very strong. We do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. Wow. How cool is that? When you don't know what's going on, the Spirit who lives in you is praying for you. We all have conflicts. We all have struggles. But thankfully, we have an advocate. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit is in you to guide, to convict of sin, to nurture and to bring comforter. Another comforter, Jesus says, of the same type, God himself within you. Now, if you don't think that that's cool, we'll talk afterwards. There is no situation that I can think of that is so chaotic, so destructive that God cannot take it and make you a vessel of grace. But you have to be willing for that to happen. I was 8 years old once, many years ago. And unfortunately, a gentleman took advantage of me and sexually assaulted me over a period of time. I was powerless to stop it. And I've replayed it and replayed it and replayed it all my life, and that was one of the reasons that I ended up in the situation I did last year, because I thought I had gotten over it. Have you ever said those words, take a cup of concrete and harden up? Oh, everything will be all right, just get over it, move on. 8 years old, 61, do the maths. Did I get over it? It came back and bit me, and bit me hard. I thought I was over it. The pain had subsided. Maybe moving country helped me. Maybe getting away helped me. Can anything good come out of that when we read these verses? Really? Can anything good happen? It is disgusting and reviling. No child should go through that. God himself says a millstone should be placed around the neck of a person that damages children. He takes it seriously. And I knew he did. And I knew he was on my side. Here's the issue. Did God take that messy, nasty situation and turn it in for good? I don't forget, that's the bad part. But what he did for me was this, he took that and he made me a vessel of grace for the perpetrators and the victims, that I might minister to them with the same grace that I've been offered through Christ. That's what it is to know that all things work for good, that those who love the Lord, for those who love the Lord. You right here now may be going through a significant struggle in your life and you are wondering where God is. What is God doing? Well, I can simply say to this to you, God is doing his part. Are you doing yours? He is working in you and with you. There is no magic bullet. He also wants to know, we want to be more like Christ. That is our job as Christians. It's not to get to heaven. Your relationship has secured that. But it's to become more like Christ when you're on this earth. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. Hear that? Conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. The purpose for his saints in Rome and for us here today at N North Potterill Baptist Church, I'll get the acronym messed up so I'll say it, is to grow into the image of his son. Have you progressed in your Christian life? If you've only just started, keep growing. You get a bit old and crusty like me. Go back and think about it and keep growing as a vessel of grace. There was a plan for them and there's a plan for us. And that plan rests in Christ's likeness. God was not surprised by their salvation. God is not surprised by your salvation. God was not surprised by my salvation, although some of my friends couldn't quite get it. You see, God did not manipulate you to become a believer. He wooed you and pursued you through the Holy Spirit. When we were groping around in the dark, he wooed you and pursued you and gave you the evidence that we need, that Jesus Christ paid the price and he rose again. His Spirit was working, pursuing you so that you would offer, so you would accept his offer of salvation through Christ. Do you understand how privileged you are? And not only privileged for your salvation, but be privileged to be in this family of God here at North Potterill Baptist Church. Never, ever, ever take it for granted of what you've been given. Whether you like it or not, I don't know how close proximity, Bible doesn't say that, but you're going to spend eternity with the person to the left, to the right, at the back, and in the front of you. And since I'm the only person in front of you, Angus, sorry. Do you realise that? About 35 years ago, back in Adelaide, a friend of mine, obviously in Australia, adopted a baby, little baby girl, beautiful little baby girl, to take home as their own. It was an amazing time. They couldn't have children themselves, and it was just a really beautiful thing to see all the heartwarming tributes and the way that they love that girl. It was just amazing. But as she grew into a teenager and then to a young woman, she was confused because she didn't look anything like her parents. And eventually and sadly, abandonment issues sunk in. What's my history? What's my roots? Why do these people love me and care for me? What happened to my other parents? She went on a search and nurtured by my friends, and she eventually found her biological mother and father. And after they talked for a while, she realised that she had little in common. Looked the same, but nothing in common. She chose to set her mind and heart on pursuing God, pursuing a relationship with Christ. These are her words. In Christ, I found a new identity and a new adopted family. I am loved more than I could ever imagine. I have come to know that I can put my trust in God, who will never leave nor forsake me. My image should reflect Christ, who loves me and gave himself for me. You see, it's her heavenly image that she got to know that was the most important. God has given us the best example. Do you think Paul understood that example? This settles it. Imitate me as I imitate who? Christ. That's the measure. Paul says, yes, imitate me, but only as I imitate Christ. The standards we want are not earthly standards. We so too often, I'm better than that person and I'm better than that person. I elevate myself by putting others down. Oh, no, 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 no. We elevate ourselves by being Christ-like because the Spirit is in with us, within us, driving us to that point. He also called us, saved us, and glorified us. In verse 30, and these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. These believers were called by God. They were wooed by God. They were justified. They were saved because of what Christ had done. And they will be glorified. You see, what he's dealing with here in this verse is not what happens in between. He's saying your security was from the day that your faith began until the day it will end. And work with me as I work in you for the rest of it. Do you get that picture? He's got you covered. Nothing can snatch you away from him. You see, these people, as we should, and what we want people to know next weekend is that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and now sat down at the right hand of the Father. This had a steep cost. The brutality of our Lord Jesus Christ at the hands of those who sought his end. And at the start of your faith, I want you to know that Jesus is with you. If you're coming to the end of your life, I want you to know that Jesus is within you. And if you're not sure what happens in between, and I know some of you had suffered horribly, I want you to know that Jesus is with you. When the great Christian and scientist Sir Michael Faraday was dying, some journalists questioned him as to his speculations concerning the soul and death. Speculations? Said the dying man. He may have not said it like that if he was dying, but I like it. In astonishment, I know nothing about speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he can keep that which I have committed to him against that day that he trusted his son. Can you, like Faraday, trust God with your life and with your death? Because if you can't, you've got some work to do to know who he is and what he's done for you. God is with us from the beginning until the end. I want you to think about some things, just three things this week. The first thing I want you to do is rejoice. I mean, I know that there's nothing happened in the last 2 and a bit years in our life to upset it, right? Not a thing. No acronym, no couple of digits at the end, nothing that has upset you or caused grief in any of our churches. Everything has been smooth sailing. I want you to think about rejoicing in the things that I've said this morning. Who's with you, who's in you, who's right at your side. Take some time to think about rejoicing about your personal relationship with a loving God. Take some time this week as we reflect and build up to when we celebrate Easter. As hard as it is to think about what they did to our Lord and Saviour, that He did that for you and for me. Can you rejoice in that? Take some time this week to rejoice and think about the Holy Spirit that is in you, to work in you. And take great joy and have confidence to know that God is with you. As I continue my life, I have to live in the knowledge of what I found out last year about myself, about the nature of the abuse and everything else that's going around in my life, and how I don't rest and how I try to push the barrier every time and get myself in all sorts of trouble and burn myself out. I need to know that I need to persevere in faith and take responsibility for my actions. I need to be obedient to God. I need to know that Jesus Christ gave the peace that I need. He gave me understanding, a love to cling to, and a hope that lasts for all eternity. In times of trouble and doubt and whatever you've been through, and I know that there's many stories in this room, I don't know all the stories, but I know there'll be many stories. In times of trouble and doubt, you can go one of two ways. You can either pull the blankets up over your head, get underneath it, and pretend that trials don't exist. That's not perseverance. Or you can face it head on through Christ who strengthens and loves you and loves me. Say this with me. God is with us from the beginning unto the end. Do you believe it? I hope. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father and loving Lord, we want to thank you that life, this mortal life that we live, is fraught with danger and trouble and unexpected circumstances. We are thankful that you know all things. And as we work out our salvation, that you will help us through your Holy Spirit, who lives within us, who's tabernacled with us, that you might help us grapple with this life, but know that Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection was not in vain. Father, I also pray for those who don't have that relationship, maybe in this room, that have come along and just potentially wanted to hear more about Jesus and the love he offers. I pray that they will consider, commit it to heart and mind, and think about saying yes to Jesus, acknowledging that he is God himself, that he died, was buried, and rose again for them, that personal relationship with them, so that they might be placed into this family that you love and that love you here at North Porirua Baptist Church. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. We all say, amen.